For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday evening service of July the 8th, 1999, at the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. John Fletcher is the speaker for the evening. Should this tape for any reason prove to be defective, please explain in return for replacement. Thank you.
Anita, could you come here just a second, please? Everybody welcome Anita. Remember Anita this morning? Remember how we prayed for Anita this morning, manic depression? And we sat her down, and she began to do warfare, and Brother George sat there with her for a long time and prayed with her and worked with her. And then when I went downstairs with the children, I just happened to catch a glimpse, and I looked over, and there went Jean. And tell me your name again. Aminta. Okay. And her sister Aminta. And there went Anita. And so we're standing out at the baptism, and Anita looked over at me and went, and here she goes. What happened?
I was delivered, and I prayed, and I thank God, because if it wasn't for Him, He wouldn't have delivered me.
Now tell us, you're what? What's happened to you?
I've been delivered.
Hey, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Let's give Anita a big hand. Let's give Jesus a bigger hand. God bless you. It's interesting. Every service, something is done prior to the message that it's almost like the Lord saying, here's a little mark that lets you know that this message is okay. It's for me. And the kid said that Mallory, speaking for the devil, said, that's the great deception. And I guess Mallory didn't say that. Somebody else said, who said that? Was it Mallory said that? Mallory said, that's the great deception. The title of my message is Deceiving Ourselves and the Deliverance from It. Committing to obey to the Word of God. That is being obedient unto death, not to the point of death, as some newer translations say, but being obedient unto death, folks, that is a radical lifestyle change. Let's review a little bit. Turn with me, if you will, Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Everybody there? Is everybody on their way back there? Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and that's what we talked about last night, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. No. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When we are crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we pick up our cross and follow Him daily and subsequently die daily, when we put to death the old man, then our old reputation, something marvelous can happen when we put all that to death. Who knows what happens when we are crucified with Christ, when we carry about in our body daily the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ? What? We're changed. We're walking in the Spirit. Let's get the exact wording, because I want to tell you, the exact wording is what's exciting. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Oh, folks, you ought to memorize this. You ought to have this scripture right up next to John 3:16. And for you as a Christian, it ought to be ahead of John 3:16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Verse 10. First part, two parts of this verse. First part, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That speaks of dying daily, being crucified daily with Christ, picking up my cross daily, dying to self, telling the old man to get out of the way and telling the new man to rise from the dead, get up there and do your thing. So when we die daily, when we're crucified with Christ daily, here's what happens. The life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Not your life, not some movie star's life, not Troy Donahue's life that I talked about last night. Come on. The life of Jesus. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It is the life of Jesus that lives in me. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. When we die to self, when we lay self down, you know, most people, I really believe this, they have the idea that, oh, my life is over. All the joy has stopped. That's when it's just really, truly begun. Because when we lay down our wants, our desires, our self, then the life of Jesus Christ can be manifested in us and through us. The life that is there now in you now, and listen to me, that life it so far surpasses anything we've ever done. That's when we'll see the things that we all have been wanting to see. And evidently, a lot of you desired that life, and you believe that that's possible for you from the response that we had at the altar last night. A whole bunch of y'all were up there. But now, let's really let the Word divide some things, okay? Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to read something to you. It was written by a lady named Jesse Penn Lewis. Some books over there by Jesse Penn Lewis. I would, if you've never read her writings, if you'd like to read something that would be, it's prophetic in nature. I don't know if she knew exactly that she was prophesying at the time, but believe me, most of these things were written before 1900 and shortly thereafter 1900. What I'm about to read, I think, was written in 1904, and she has a lot of prophetic things to say, and she just talked about her church of the day. But let me read this to you, okay? I just pick up, this is from her book, Releasing the Spirit. And I notice that's not over there. I tell you, you ought to get that book and put it over there. It is a marvelous book. You ought to get that book, Releasing the Spirit. They have it here. Anyway, reading from her passage here, her writings, these are extremely solemn facts. They reveal very clearly why the churches, this is in 1904, why the churches are filled with nominal worshipers of Christ who show no signs that they have the true life of Christ within them. How sad it is that the very presence of these worshipers in the churches shows that within their spirits they are unconsciously yearning for God. In thousands upon thousands of cases, this longing is never satisfied. For only the soul life is engaged. They are either responding with the intellect to an intellectual presentation of the letter of truth, or their senses are being gratified by soothing music and the calming influences of an hour of quiet. However, they are not being led into the real worship of God in spirit and in truth, which alone is acceptable to Him. But, and this is the serious danger, influences that penetrate only to the soul and do not reach the spirit in regenerating power are deceptive. They give a person a form of godliness, but without the power. A person may naturally have a fiery disposition, talking about the preacher. He may sway and move the emotion of others so that they make a profession of faith. However, when this happens, their faith then stands on the influence or wisdom of the person they have listened to and not on the power of God. We can now see what Andrew Murray meant when he wrote that the greatest danger that the church or individual has to dread is the inordinate activity of the soul with its power of mind and will. It is obviously the energy of man being used in the service of God rather than man seeking in his spirit to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Because of this, we find the overly intellectual person who is under the influence of his soul rather than his spirit dealing with the eternal destinies of immortal souls, and we find the strong-willed person exercising his will and dominant personality over the consciences and lives of others. Therefore, strategy... This is in 1904. Therefore, strategies to reach people and bring them to God through events like musical attractions or lectures or popular subjects are only the manifestation of the soul life in those who desire to help others. Those who are dominated by their souls may be regenerated, but at the same time they do not know the Spirit of God as a person who dwells in their spirits, who energizes them by His indwelling power and uses them as messengers of God in the salvation of men with His message alone.
A Russian missionary gave this to me. You probably know what this is. I want you to pretend with me and follow on. This is you. This is your body, your outward man, okay? Now, I know that probably 90% of everybody here know this, but for those that one or two that don't know it, would you kind of go along with me for them? This is your body. Now, inside your body, this is a little doll here. And you open it up, and inside the doll, there's another little doll. And then inside that is another little doll, okay? Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 clearly says that man is tripartite, or we're tripartite parts. We're three parts, okay? We're made up of spirit, soul, and body. And by the way, God always influences you first through spirit. It always comes spirit, then up through the soul, then up to the body. The devil is always in the reverse. He always starts with the soul or with the body and moves down to the soul. And if possible, he'll then penetrate into the spirit. But anyway, here is the body. And I alluded to this last night, but this has five senses. You know, the taste, touch, hearing, seeing, smelling, and whatever else you got. But anyway, you got five senses. And this is how you communicate in the world. This is how you operate in the world through the body. So this is world conscious, okay? This is your spirit. You have a spirit. Now the spirit is how you communicate in the spirit world. Now before you are born again, your spirit man cannot communicate with God. But it can communicate with the spirit world. It just cannot communicate with God. It is dead to God. That's what it means to be born again. When you're born again, the Spirit then makes it possible for you to communicate with the living God. But before you are born again, it is dead to God, the things of God. Ephesians 2 said, you are dead in your trespasses and sin. You were without hope, you know, without Christ, alienated from God and the promises and so on and so forth. So, but you can communicate in the spirit world. It's just that it's spirits that you really don't want to communicate with. That's why mediums and those people can communicate with demons, because they're not dead to spirit life. They're just dead to the spirit life of God. Okay? Now, once you're born again, and I love this, the fourth man in the fire, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, comes in and He lives in you. And so here is the way it's supposed to be. Well, let me talk about the soul first. I forgot about your soul is you. Your soul is your mind, your intellect, it's your feelings, your emotions, it's your will. It's you, it's the essence of who you are. And so the Spirit, God speaks to the spirit man, this is the way it's supposed to be, ideally. The spirit man speaks to the soul, to you, and you then communicate God's orders to the body, and the body carries out the
orders of God, the commandments of God in this life. For instance, let's say that you're walking down the street and some guy's over there in a wheelchair. And the Lord wants to touch that guy and heal him through you. And so God would speak to your spirit, and your spirit then would speak to your soul, and your intellect and your will and your emotions and your feelings would agree with that and say, oh, yes, okay, body, walk over there, lay hands on that man, and the power of God would come through you. The man would be healed, and God would be glorified. Your creative purpose. Simple, huh? Well, now your soul, however, seems to have two natures. It seems to have what the Bible calls an old man nature and a new nature. Brother Tom pointed this out to me last night. I knew it. I just didn't say it. And interesting enough, there was a lady that was confused about that last night. She said, you mean my soul's supposed to die? No, the old man's supposed to die. I'm so sorry. You have an old man nature that's still running around in your soul, which is the nature that is world-geared. But you also have a new nature that came in with Christ, and it is God-geared. And this is where you have the opportunity, as we read in Romans 6, to present yourselves either as members to righteousness or unrighteousness. Remember that? So, here's the way it happens a lot of time. God will speak to your soul and say, let's go lay hands on this man. And so your soul kind of sits there with its two sets of ears. And there's one set over here, here's God. And then you have the old man nature, and the body says, as it looks around, it sees all the people that will be looking, and the body says, that'll be a little embarrassing. What if the guy isn't healed? So the old man, in his ears, he hears that. So your soul kind of sits there and goes, well, do I or don't I? I could be embarrassed, and what if he's not healed? And that would really embarrass me, and I don't want to be embarrassed. But, oh, but God, I'm created for your glory. And so the, you know, kind of battle goes on. Anybody ever had that before? Well, that's kind of simple kindergarten stuff, but that's really, it's more complex than that, but that kind of brings it down to a level to where it's kind of what happens. And we either decide that we're going to serve God or we're going to serve ourselves. And the soul is geared, the old man is geared, listen carefully, is geared to exalt yourself and man, the old nature. And that's why we have to crawl up on the cross and nail the old man to the cross so that the new man, which is geared toward God, will be a conduit for the things of God to run through you out to the body, out to the world, and God can be glorified. Everybody see that? I need things like this from time to time. I know that none of you do, but, you know, humor me. Anyway, now, look, if you will, back at Hebrews 4 again. Verse 12. The Spirit of God and the Word of God will divide for us, as directed by Jesus, our High Priest, what is soulish and what is spiritual. Soulish meaning the old man. Old man soulish, I'll refer to it. Now, why the high priest? Well, because that was the function of the high priest in the Old Testament. Very quickly, once a year, Day of Atonement, the high priest would take the animals, take a knife, cut it up, part of it here, part of it there, part of it here, and he would divide the parts. And so Jesus is now our high priest, and so he's still doing that. And if you will allow the Word of God to begin to do that, you can begin to know what about you is soulish and what about you is spiritual, if you want to know. You see, it's very possible to be sitting in a spirit-filled service and to be moved on by the Holy Spirit, or to be moved on by your soulish power and to do things that you think are spiritual that is birthed out of your own soulish power just to get you some glory. So I want to do that right now. I want to look in the Word. You know, we look at what it says in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, when we're sick or when we have a financial problem or a marital problem, boy, we'll go boldly to the throne of grace, won't we? I'm blood bought. I got a right to be there. Here I come, Jesus. But, you know, in context, and that's true, we can do it, but in context, this is saying, You need to come boldly to the throne of grace to your high priest and say, High Priest Jesus, I want to know what is soulish and what is spiritual. In context. I mean, don't look at me. Look at your Bible. That's what it says. In context. He's talking about the Word of God dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, and he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. You have a high priest. You don't have to worry about your high priest saying, yeah, now that was soulish and this is spiritual. And what you're doing here is soulish, and you don't have to worry about him screaming and yelling at you like some little whipped dog. He says, I can sympathize with you. I understand. I sympathize with you. Come boldly up here and let's talk about this, and so that my life can manifest through you, let's get the soulish stuff out of the way so that you only have the new man operating. Because you all said last night, you wanted the new man operating through. You wanted the life of Jesus coming through. How bad do you want the life of Jesus? Well, let me tell you something. If you truly want to walk around with the life of Jesus Christ manifested in your body, you are going to have to begin to learn how to divide asunder what is soulish and what is spiritual, which is of you exalts you, and which is of God that exalts him. And God says, here's one way to do it. So let's begin through the Word to do that, okay? Turn back, if you will, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let me just give you some things here. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 22, please. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Okay, now, how do I crucify myself? Well, how did Jesus do it? Philippians 2, he was obedient to death. In other words, do you want to crucify the old man? You've got to practice obedience to the Word of God. It has to become a part of that. That's how you die to self. Obedience to the Word of God. I, you know, the little skit up here. I want to divorce my husband. And so you get in the Word of God, and the Word of God goes along, and all of a sudden you find in Malachi, it says, God says, I hate divorce. I want to divorce my husband. That's my soulish nature. I thought it was spiritual, but now I see it's against the Word of God. I have a choice to make. My old man wants to divorce my husband, but God's Word says I hate divorce. I have a choice to make. I can either be obedient unto death, or I can say, die new man, rise up again and be resurrected old man. I can either divorce my husband, or I can begin to trust God to change my marriage, and I can just get up on the cross and die. And when you get up on the cross and die, that's when the life of Jesus can begin to be manifested through you. Is it easy? No, I told you last night. By design, the cross is a slow, agonizing death. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Then it's like he gives us an example. I never saw it this way until just a few weeks ago. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now listen to this. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, how will he be blessed? Well, he'll have to crawl up there and die on the cross, and then the life of Christ will come through. Now, I don't know about you, but you can have your $500,000 home, and I'd like to have one. You can have your new Rolls Royce. I'd like to have one, I guess. But I want to tell you something. I'd give it all up to have the manifested life of Jesus come through me. How about you? Then here's the example. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans, widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Here's the example. So, you think your religion is pure and undefiled, huh? Well, first of all, God said, let's define, by my definition, the God who says it's impossible to lie, let's define by my definition what pure and undefiled religion is. Okay, God, what is it? Well, it's to visit orphans and widows in their troubles and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Oh, yes, God, I do that. So you think your religion is pure and undefiled, right? Oh, yes, God, I do. But you don't bridle your tongue. You yell at your wife. You gossip. You put people down. Sorry, God says, your religion that you think is pure and undefiled is useless. You see, you looked in my word. You saw that I said in my word, don't backbite. Don't be a talebearer. Don't be an angry person. You read it. You heard it. But you didn't do it. Now you're doing all the other stuff, but it's useless. But God, that doesn't seem fair. I'm doing all these other things. I know, but you see, I make up the rules, God said. Remember what we learned the first night? God makes up all the rules. He's God. We're not. It's like this. Boy, I need to do something about that double chin. I want my chin to look like Gene Moody's. I got to do something about that double chin. Now, man, I got four counseling sessions today. I got to get the message ready for tonight. I'm going to start getting praise and worship ready. So it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I did that early in the morning. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then it's Thursday, and then it's Friday, and then it's 2 weeks from then. And I still didn't about the double chin. Why? Because I looked in the mirror. I looked at it. I saw the problem. But then I said, I've got other things. I didn't do it. And God said this. He said, now, I got to keep this so I can keep looking at that double chin in case. Anyway. So likewise, God says, if you hear the word, but then you don't do the word, listen, you deceive yourself. And listen, your old man nature is there to promote that deception, by the way. Because the old man's soulish realm exalts, like I've already said, self and man. That's it. That's who he exalts, is you. That is how something that God meant for your good can become old man soulish and hinder the work of God. Remember, the old man soulish wants what is best for you, and God wants what is best for you. Now, don't look at me like I just said an oxymoron there. I didn't. It's true. Your old man's soulish nature wants what's best for you. God wants what's best for you. The difference is their definition of best. The old man's soulish nature of best is, at best, temporary, fleeting, and it always leads to death. To be carnally minded, is that's the best the old man nature can give you. I want the best for you. Now, I know it's fleeting. I know it's temporary. But you'll have a little joy. You'll have a little peace like the fellow up here. But you'll die. Now, God says, oh, by the way, I want the best for you too. The difference is my best is not fleeting. It is eternal. And not only is it eternal, but I tell you what, it really is the best. And it leads to life. And it leads to life more abundantly. See the difference? We've got to learn to decide who's drawing me here. The body, the old man nature, the old soulish, or God in the new man nature. Because if I don't learn, what I do know is that for 52 years, not quite that long now, I hope I've learned a little bit here before, but for 40-some years of my life, I want to tell you, I was following the old man, and a lot of that I thought was of God. Oh, I've stood up in services, Irma, and I've just prophesied till the cows come home. And everybody, oh, John is so spiritual. And you know what God showed me one day? And this is the truth. One day, I was in prayer. Now, I'm a pastor. I pray for my people. I pray religiously for my people. I mean religiously, Gene. And I'm up, and you know, I've got a list that's as long as my left arm, and I'm just, God, I pray, and I still remember. Oh, Father, I pray for the Merrill family. And God just spoke to me. He says, why are you praying? What? Why are you praying? Well, I'm supposed to. That's what I'm supposed to do. And the Lord says, I know. You're doing it out of duty and not out of love. Well, fine, I'll go play golf. No. And then he began to show me that almost everything I did in my life that was in the spiritual realm that I thought was spiritual, it was ultimately to exalt me. I had an insecurity problem. And when I would get up and prophesy, I mean, people would listen. And I love that. A lot of us do. Don't laugh at me. Why? Because we bought into the world system. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Think what we've been told. Look out for number one. Think about it. We have been inundated with self, 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 self. Michael Jordan, I hope this tape doesn't go out and I get sued. Well, they'd sue you. Michael Jordan, and on and on and on. Miss America. We've been inundated with that. And we say, oh, my little mundane life is nothing. I mean, I just go to church and I sit there and I praise God and I help out in the nursery and I go down in the Miller's camp and I have to teach a bunch of kids and then I'm nothing. Nothing. And I deserve better than that. My husband never tells me I'm pretty anymore. My wife never tells me I got big muscles anymore. Ooh, Pastor John. Self. Self. Soulish. 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 And it only gives us temporary. And God says, and here's the bad, the sad, bad part about it all. Yes, it leads to death, but more than that, we really could have stood up and operated in the true gifts of the Spirit if we would just die to self and let the life of Jesus come through us. He doesn't want to deny you anything. He's come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He's a good shepherd. He's not an evil shepherd. He's a good shepherd. I want to tell you, He will not share His glory with any flesh. Gone with your bad self, the kids would say today. Gone with your bad self. Get on up there and get all the glory for yourself. Gone, but what you could have had was heaven. Let me give you an example of how easy it is for the soulish realm to let you deceive yourself via the Word of God. Psalms 91. Are you all glad you came tonight? Two of you are. How many are waiting to see? Oh, I love Psalms 91. Oh, let the tribulation come. Hallelujah. Surely, verse 3, He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. He'll cover you with His feathers. You shall not be afraid of the terrible night, no arrow that flies. Oh, no pestilence. You won't be afraid of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. By the way, the word destruction there is katave. It's a demon of destruction. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. You see, the old man's soulish realm looks at that and says, yeah, that's me. Sounds good. No plague, no fear, nothing coming near me. So that part of the old man's soulish realm will promote you to believe that. But I want to tell you, it's deception. It is temporary and will lead to your death. Why? Well, because this is only for those, what I just read, who dwell someplace. It's only for those who dwell, verse 1, in the secret place of the Most High. It's only for those who make God their dwelling place. Your old nature soulish realm, who is influenced by your senses, which are influenced by the world, which is controlled by the devil, probably didn't bring that up to you. Oh, you need to look at verse 1, by the way. You were just up praising God, singing and shouting for the victory, and that really felt good. But do you have anything to really be shouting about yet? What you should be asking yourself is, who is it that dwells in the secret place of the Most High? Who is it? How do I get in that secret place of the Most High? How do I make God my dwelling place? And right away people say, through Jesus. Well, yeah, that's true. But I want to show you and let the Bible explain. Psalms 15. Psalms 15. Here's the question. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? That's the question. That's what we all need to know. God, I want those 1,000 fall on my right hand, 10,000 on my left hand. Lord, I don't want no plague, no pest to come near me. And so now, Lord, I want to make you my dwelling place. I want to dwell where you are. How does that happen? Well, here. So who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Now, here we go. Now, you get a chance to be obedient unto death. Now, God begins to speak through the spirit realm to the new nature, soulish realm. But I want to tell you, very shortly, the spirit or the fleshly, bodily man, the senses are going to start talking to the old nature. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, who does not backbite with his tongue. Did you hear that? No backbiting with your tongue. If you don't backbite with your tongue, then you can abide in my holy hill. And all the promises of Psalm 91 are yours. See, that's the blessing that comes. That's what James 1 said. You know, you look into the perfect law of liberty and you do the words and you'll be blessed. This man will be blessed. And so, don't backbite. Obey the word. Now the flesh says, look what that person's doing. It's like Brother Chris said the other day, where we make those remarks, you know, we'd still manipulate with our, all that stuff that he did. But, it's okay to backbite. Look what that person did. And, of course, your old soulish man says, yeah, go for it. That'll make you feel good. And so you make a decision. You say, shut up, old soulish man. Get up on the cross and die. I will not deceive myself. I've heard it, now I'm going to do it. And when I do it, the life of Jesus comes through because I'm dead. How many know Jesus is going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Let me give you one more on there. Verse 4, the last part of that. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Brother Glenn, I'll come down and I'll be there all week. I'll run the table for you. I just made that promise. Somebody. Thursday comes around. Oh, man, it's hot down here. Well, just going home. I mean, they got Irma and they got Reba. They got it covered. Who may abide in God's tabernacle? He who says he'll do something and then he does it even if it hurts. I know. Don't tell me that. I know. I signed a contract with the bank that said I would make my payments on the 10th. But, I'd rather pay it 3 days late. I don't mind the late charge because I get my interest on my interest that I'm getting from my IRA is 9%, and I'm only paying 7%. He who swears that he'll do something and do it. A whole bunch of you all need to repent. Do I get an amen? Now you have a choice to make. A legitimate choice. You can die to self, be crucified with Christ so that his life can come through. Or, as the Bible says, you can deceive yourself. Don't just be a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Any man is a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. Listen, she deceives himself. Person deceives himself. I want to ask you a question. If I come up to you and say, listen, I want you to go someplace with me. There's a seance going on over here. And they're raising the dead. They're talking to dead people. I mean, honest to goodness, they're contacting the dead and they're talking to dead people. I mean, you can go talk to your great-grandmother, your Abraham Lincoln. You want to come? How many of you would go? Why not? Because you say, man, those people are deceived. I want to go. I want to open myself up to deception. Some of you ought to quit reading the Bible and going to church then. Because you just heard something from the Word that says, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. God's Word. You heard it. If you don't do it, the one who says it is impossible to lie, absolute truth says you have just deceived yourself. Deception is deception. And when you hear the Word of God and you don't do the Word of God, you have deceived yourself. You have opened the door called deception, and you have opened the door for demonics, for demons to come in. Because in case you don't know this, and I know you do, but that is where the devil operates in the highest degree of efficiency, deception. 1 Timothy 4:1, in the latter days, the Spirit speaks expressly, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Deception, deception, deception. That is how the devil makes his inroads, and that's how the devil gets his talons in you and keeps them there. He not only deceives you to get in, he continues to keep you in deception to stay in. Anytime you hear the Word of God and do not do it, you're in deception. And listen, God will have to step in. Time is it? Okay, go back to Judges and Gideon just a second. Judges, I think it's chapter 4, 6, something like that. Yeah, chapter 6. Now, all those who said they were glad, are you still glad you came? Those of you who weren't for certain, have you decided yet? I'm really not being solely. I'm trying to keep it. This is a hard message, but it's a message that you need to hear. It's a message the church needs. It's a message I need to hear. It's a message that we need to hear. Because I want to be free. Then the children of Israel did evil in verse 1, chapter 6. I'm sorry, Judges 6, verse 1. Everybody there? And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made for themselves the dens, the caves, the strongholds, which are in the mountain. By the way, when the enemy attacks you and it gets in, it'll drive us into hiding in dark places. And how many know that's not a normal life? People who are run by demons do not have a normal life. They just don't have a normal life. They live in darkness. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also the Amalekites, the people of the east, would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkeys. You know, when demons get a hold of you, you can sow into the offering, but they'll see to it. If you're living in deception and you are living, now listen carefully, you know, Romans 15 says we're to learn from the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 6, we're to learn from the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10, I think it is. So we're to learn from the Old Testament. And God showed us a principle here. If you've opened your heart to deception by obedience to the Word of God, you can sow and you will not produce anything. And maybe none of you have ever been that way. I've been that way. I have sown. I've sown in the ministries that I knew were God, and nothing happened. And once I learned that I was living in deception and disobedient to the Word of God, and I corrected that through repentance, then I began to sow, and man, fruit began to pop up. If you're sowing places and you say, I came down to Lake Hamilton and I gave $200 and I ain't nothing back. That ministry's not of God. Well, maybe, just maybe, you're living in disobedience. You'll be blessed when you're a doer of the Word. Hello? They would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number. They would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished. And that's what demons always bring in, is poverty. Even when they make you rich, they want to break you because of the Midianite. And let me tell you, and they'll make some people rich to set them up by their way of life. Movie stars, sports idols, and you'll chase after that. And you'll end up being just as poor as Job's turkey. How many know Job's turkey was awful poor? So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites that the Lord delivered them right away. Doesn't say that, does it? Now, first thing he did is send a prophet. I want to tell you something, folks. George Lev, I want to tell you something. We had a word here last night that was up here when George came up and spoke to the young man who was up here. Now, it didn't go, thus saith the Lord. It wasn't in Hebrew. I'm not putting all that. I'm just saying it was just George speaking. Now, son, listen to me. You don't be self-employed. You be God-employed. Now, son, you live for Jesus Christ every day. Now, that's the Word of God. And I guarantee you, if George would have gone, and those things are real, by the way, but I'm just to show you how soulish we can be. And then he said, my son, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, you are to work for me and not call yourself self-employed anymore, but call yourself God-employed. You all would have been going, I would have been, oh, God, thank you, Jesus. We do not discern what is soulish and what is spiritual very well, folks. We Pentecostal charismatics, some of us are real bad at that. And I'm telling you, George spoke a word from heaven to that young man last night. And I don't know, Randy, if you're here or not, but I want to tell you, are you here, Randy? Well, I was going to say whether he's here or not, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. He heard a word, and if he don't do the word, he's going to be in deception. What could have been a beautiful thing last night can turn out real bad for him. Real bad for him. Don't blame Lake Hamilton. Don't go away and say, well, I went down there to get set free and I didn't. No, be a doer of the word and you'll get set free. Let's go on real quickly. So he sent him a prophet, the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. There it is. He told them before he delivered them, you people are in disobedience, period. Send them a prophet. Half of the church would walk out of a church if the pastor stood up and they came forward and said, Pastor, pray for me. Okay, but before I do, let me tell you what God says. You're in disobedience. Well, I'm out of here. He's not compassionate. He has no love in him. If he doesn't do it, he has no love in him. But he doesn't care about you. He's a hireling. He doesn't care about you. The hireling does not care about the sheep. He only cares about himself. Shepherd cares about you to the point of saying, honey, listen to me. You're in disobedience. I can't pray for you until you come out of that disobedience. You need to go back there, sit down, and repent. God sent a prophet. He told him what was wrong. What was wrong? Now listen to what was wrong. He said, don't fear the gods of the Amorites, but you have not obeyed my voice. In other words, they feared the gods of the Amorites. How do they fear the gods of the Amorites? The same way you and I do. They looked around and they were supposed to trust God for all of their sustenance. And they were supposed to bring their offerings down to the high priest and to the priest. And God said, I'll bless you. That's just the way it went. Go on, plant your crops. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter if there's any rain. Doesn't matter if there's any sun. Just plant your crops. I'll bless you. So they plant their crops or they start raising their sheep, whatever they're doing. Their wife can't have a baby. God told them in Deuteronomy, he said, look, there won't be anybody. If you just obey my word, there won't be anybody that won't have babies. Be nothing barren in the land. That's what they had to do, obey God to be blessed. Life of God would come to them. Did they do that? No. They looked around and they started scratching their head and they said, well, you know, my wife hasn't had a baby now. We've been trying for 2 years. So, you know, I heard the Amorites had this goddess over there, a goddess of fertility, and I don't think God would mind. Let's go over there and make a little offering to her just in case. Because if we don't, I'm afraid that she, even though God is the overall writing God and he's the king God, but I'm afraid if I don't give her an offering, you'll never have a baby. They feared the gods of the land. They began to sacrifice to the gods of the land. And God said, you disobey my voice. And we say, those stupid people. I wonder how many of them look down from heaven and say the same thing about us. Gene talked about it today. God. But God, I know my wife is sick. But God, I know you said you'd give me strength through all things. I could do all things through you who strengthens me. But, and I know that.
But Lord, you know how my needs. And surely you wouldn't mind if I just went over here and this girl over here, she's... I know I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church, but God, she makes me so mad sometimes. God, you know. And you know, when I yell at her and scream at her and intimidate her, she shuts up and she'll do what I tell her to do. Well, all you're doing, you're afraid of your own God. You're afraid that if you don't yell at her and scream at her, she might not do. God might not come through and make her the Proverbs 31 wife for you. That's all you're... That's you're just in unbelief and doubt. You've heard the word, and now you're not doing the word. You're in deception, end of argument. I mean, as far as the word of God is concerned. He told Joshua, if you'll meditate on the word day and night and be careful to observe everything you've read in the word, man, I'll bless your socks. So if you'll be blessed coming in, blessed going out, everything you put your hand to do will prosper. That is why many of us in the church are not prospering. We are in disobedience, and consequently, we are in deception. Now, let's get down to the hard part. Herman said, Lord, have mercy. Well, aren't you glad he does? Lined up here last night, a whole bunch of you, crying, committed to die daily. I heard the word, oh God. God, I will die daily. I'll be crucified for you. But did you just kind of go, oh God, I got to do something about that double chin. Let's see. Got to be down to that meeting at 6, and I don't think I go to that. I go to the 8 o'clock thing. Let me see. Oh, we're leaving tomorrow. I got to run into town, and I got to buy a new dress. And if you stood up here last night after being moved by the word and said, God, I commit to die daily, that's an indication that you heard the word. I want to tell you what I expected to see when I walked in here this morning. I expected to see a bunch of people sitting around. Why? Because I know what the first few days are like when you say, I will die daily, and you've never done it before. Slow, agonizing death. And if you, one lady came up to me and said, you know, because of the message the Lord brought last night, I had to get up this morning. I had to write my grandson. Now listen carefully, because here's the real hard part. If you came up here last night, if you've ever gone to any church service, if you heard Tommy Cook talk yesterday morning, you've heard messages that were challenging, and you all said amen, and I said amen, 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 hallelujah. Oh, that felt good. We heard the word. We've heard the word. We have heard the word. And many of us have said, yes, I will, I will. And if you said I will, and if you heard the word, and you are not doing the word, listen to me. At Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Deliverance Camp, you have opened the door to deception. You are in deception. You did it. On the authority of the word of God. If you are hear the word and you don't do the word, you have deceived yourself. And I guarantee you something. There are demons that have been loosed out of some people looking for some place to get into. How many church services have you gone to? How many camp meetings have you gone to? How many tapes have you heard? How many books have you read? How many times have you been in the Word of God? And God has stirred your heart, and you have said, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Oh, God, I'll start paying my bills on time. Oh, God, I'll start treating my wife right. Oh, God, I'll start doing what I'm supposed to do to my husband. Oh, God, I'll do what I'm supposed to do at church. God, I'll quit backbiting. God, I'll quit gossiping. Let me see. What am I going to wear to church? I've got to get home because I've got people coming over. Oh, I'll run up to the altar and I'll, oh, God, oh, yes, Jesus, I promise, Jesus, I'll change, Jesus. And you get up, and I want to tell you, I hate it as a pastor. I hate it. see a moment of God and people get up from the altar and then they walk around. How you doing? Yeah, we going out to eat. God hasn't touched them. Their soul has touched them. We live in deception. And you know how I know we live in deception? You know why I know what's over this nation? Witchcraft covers this nation. You know how I know? Because the minds of God's people are so open to deception constantly. We cannot focus in on doing the Word of God. And that's witchcraft. Did you get up today and say, oh God, today is the day I promise. I'm going to crawl up on the cross. I'm going to crucify self that your life might come through me. Two scriptures. Psalms 101, verse 7. Father, O God, cleanse us, Lord. Convict us. Lord, start with me and show us the truth of this. Verse 1, Psalms 101, verse 1, David says, I don't remember, sometimes someone, Glenn said it, we must be resolved. I will. There must be a fight in us. There must be a resolve in us that says, I will serve God. I will not deceive myself. David starts this, I will sing of the mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I will not know wickedness, verse 4. And in that context, in verse, David says, I will not let him who works deceit dwell within my house. And of course, some of us, and we were trying to teach Anita, battle against the demons. Stand up, be a warrior against the demons. But listen, folks, you and I need to be a warrior against deception that you and I are bringing on ourselves. We need to say to me, I need to say to my old man, you will not dwell in my house, you old man of deceit. Get out in the name of Jesus. Get up on the cross and die. What will God do? Psalm 72. He, it says in verse 12, he will deliver the needy when he cries out to God. The poor also, and him who has no helper. I want to tell you something, folks. There's no one that can help you against yourself save God himself. There's nobody. Gene Moody cannot come and convince you to die to self. I cannot do it for you. This is something. You have no helper in this, only Jesus. This is really you and him. But God says, he will deliver the needy when the needy cries out to him. I also deliver the poor and him who has no helper. I will spare the poor and needy. I will save the souls of the needy. God says, I will redeem their soul from deceit. I will redeem their souls from deceit. All you have to do is cry out. Would you stand to your feet, please? Now, let me ask you a very solemn question. Do you really want the life of Jesus to be manifested through your body? Nothing soulish here. You say to yourself, and you can say it out loud, yes, you can just... Nothing, just, or no show. Listen, I want to die to self. Don't anybody come up to me and say, good sermon, but no, I won't hear it. I won't hear it. And I mean it. Don't say nothing to me. Say, hi, Brother John. Want to drink a water? Don't say it. I don't want to hear it. It just promotes self. I'm telling you now, I got a problem with self. Do you want the life of Jesus to be manifested in your body? Do you want his joy, his peace, his power, his presence? Then you've got to be crucified with him. You've got to die daily. You have got to carry about in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus. There is no other way. Did you deceive yourself last night? Did you get all caught up in the moment? and get up this morning. You looked in the mirror last night, but you took off and you forgot the commitment you made last night. Listen to me. By the authority of the Word of God, you're in deception right now. And many of us have been in deception for years because time and time and time and time again we have heard songs and sermons and we've said, I will, God, I've heard the Word, and we've walked away. And the door deception has been, I've done it so many times, I broke it off the hinges a long time ago. But God says if you'll cry out, if you'll recognize that you're needy, and if you'll cry out to me, then I will redeem your soul from deceit. And you can start afresh because you see, he says, my mercies are new tonight too. They're new every day, and that's why you need them. So you've had the Word open to you tonight about this. The Lord would say to you, you don't need any music. You don't need an altar call. All you need is me. You heard my word. Now will you do my word? Bow your heads, please. Spirit of the living God, move upon this people, Lord. Bring conviction. Lord, help them to be encouraged, not condemned. Help them know, Lord, that what you're wanting to do here is not to bring them lower, but you just want your life to live through them. In your name, Jesus, I pray, let the Lord minister to you, please, for a few minutes here. To Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. Let's do it again. All to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. Let's do it one more time. Make it a prayer now. All to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I'm going to say something, if Glenn wants to override it, of course he can. I don't want anybody here to come forward for prayer tonight. Everyone here, you have a decision to make, not for tonight, but for the rest of your life. It's not a time for prayer. It's a time for you to make a decision. Honest to goodness, I either will truly surrender all or I won't. I'll either be crucified with Christ so that his life can manifest through me, or I will continue to be a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word, and I will continue to live in deception, and nobody can help you at that point. No prayer can set you free at that point. It's your choice. Brother Gene, would you close us with a word of prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly and Gracious Father, Lord, we are just awed with your presence, Father. We're convicted by your word. We know we're all supposed to live this life, Father. We want to live this life, Lord. We each make our own vow, our own commitment to you, Father. We ask that you help us, Father. Show us, Lord Jesus. Lord, this is very serious, Lord. It applies to each and every one of us, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for moving upon us. I thank you, Lord, for convicting us and for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. And so I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, because this is a personal decision. Each and every person has to make their own decision. And they cannot be coerced, Lord. They have to make their decision freely for you, Lord, because you gave us the free will. So, Lord, I just thank you for this sermon, Lord. I thank you for what the Word of God has said to us, Lord. I thank you for the camp meeting. I thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful things that you have done at this camp meeting. And I praise you, Father. Now, Lord, I pray that we'd all get a good, nice rest, Father, and wake up refreshed and relaxed and well in the morning, Father. Pray, Lord, for the prayer meeting that starts at 6, that we'll be able to get up, Lord, and come to the prayer meeting, Father. And I pray for a wonderful prayer meeting that will meet the needs of the people, as well as the rest of the camp meeting, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.